Our reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the light of the gospel. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, "I believed and so I spoke," we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, our momentary affliction, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
Our text verses are from verses 1 and 16. Twice Paul said, "We do not lose heart." He said it in verse 1, also verse 16. So we do not lose heart. And that's the topic this morning as well. We do not lose heart. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we learn that the Christian can proclaim the gospel through challenging times if we go through suffering. That's in short the message of 2 Corinthians 4. And I've seen it so many times in my ministry as a pastor. And we know that. There's something different about Christians. We mourn differently than the world. And yes, we go through suffering. We also die. We also stand at the grave of loved ones. But when we go through trials, or even when we face our deathbed, there's something different. And the difference is that we have hope in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, we will learn that even that when we suffer, we still have a calling to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and act differently than the world. So can we proclaim the gospel through our dying and our suffering? Yes. And a good example is euthanasia. Or self-assisted dying. And why a Christian can never have peace with this practice. What is euthanasia? Euthanasia is the practice of ending the life of a patient to limit the patient's suffering. And this is now legal in and available in Queensland, South Australia, Victoria, Western Australia, and Tasmania. Will also come in effect New South Wales from 28 November this year. This is Australia. And they say euthanasia is for those who want a good death without suffering. We can never have peace with this. For a Christian, it's different. We die in the Lord. Romans 14, verse 8. So can a Christian have peace with euthanasia? The Bible is clear. We must be careful not to take in our own hands the right that belongs to God. Psalm 121. The Lord will keep your going and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So what's the difference between believers who live and die in the Lord and those who want a good death? The difference is faith, but also the knowledge that it is the Lord who gives life and the Lord that takes it away. For the believer, death is not frightening, but a doorway to eternal life. And so, 2 Corinthians 4 tells us what we need to do when we suffer. In our suffering, we need to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ so that unbelievers in the world also can see that believers do not fear death and suffering and repent and believe in the living Christ. That's our example. It should lead to repentance and faith in the living Christ to unbelievers. We have a calling in our suffering as well. And the Apostle Paul describes this calling and suffering in verse 15. For it's all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. And also with our suffering and pain, we will experience the grace of the Lord. And 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And when we experience the grace of the Lord, this grace is visible to many. And ultimately, it will lead to thanksgiving and to the glory of the Lord. And when we hear bad news, when we are going through trials, and when we come before the Lord in prayer, we should never forget to ask, how will the Lord be glorified through this? And how can the gospel be proclaimed through my suffering and even death? And so the Apostle Paul teaches us this morning through the Holy Spirit that we can be involved in the gospel through the hope and knowledge we have in Jesus. God has raised Jesus from death. And through my life and the knowledge that the Lord will also raise me, I can continue to proclaim the gospel. Verse 11. And in this knowledge, we don't have to lose heart about our circumstances. We do not have to lose heart when we are getting older. We do not have to lose heart when our circumstances change, through persecution maybe, when the world is changing for the worse in our opinion. Twice the Apostle Paul comforted the congregation with the words, "We do not lose heart." And Apostle Paul had authority to comfort the congregation in such a way, because this is how the Lord comforted Paul when he was discouraged, alone in despair in prison, in Acts 23. And if you go to Acts 23, you will see that Paul, up to this point in his ministry, had acted with the greatest courage. He faced crowds of people. Because the Lord saved him, a persecutor of Christianity, and turned him to his servant who brought the good news to Gentiles. And Paul was simply obeying Jesus in his word to him. He gave up everything to preach Jesus as the only way and show the way is through repentance and faith. That God was giving this through grace alone, through the sacrifice of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And Paul, with great vigor, defended this message with courage before the Jewish council and others in humbleness. And he was bold in his defense. He was an obedient servant, full of wisdom and courage through the Holy Spirit, but he was still just a man. Like every one of us, he needed to be comforted. And when he was alone, jail, waited for his trial, Jesus showed up. Just when his servant needed the most. And as Paul once again sat locked up, he was exhausted, he was discouraged. He wanted to preach the good news, the life-saving gospel. He wanted to help people by giving them the greatest gift of all, Jesus. But he met opposition at every turn, and the people did not want to listen. Sometimes we are discouraged as well. Lack of faith, conflict of the world, politics, but also closer to home, our church, maybe our family. People are so spiritually blind today, cannot see the Lord's provision in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And like a Paul, you can be in despair about your own people. Reject Jesus as their Savior. And so Paul had to learn to be patient. That faith is a gift from the Lord, and it's out of grace alone. He had to learn that the Lord will present the opportunity, the open door of the gospel, and that his way is always better than ours. That following night, Jesus stood near Paul and said in Acts 23, verse 11, "Take courage. For as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome." The Lord said to Jesus, Lord Jesus said to Paul and comforted Paul with the words, "Take courage." It can also be translated with the words, "Take heart." So important that these words were used only by Jesus, that we as a congregation can also this morning be encouraged by Jesus today. And these words is especially for you, brother and sister, who need encouragement this morning because you are going through a tough time. But also to learn that we have a calling. And although we are but broken vessels or jars of clay, we still have a wonderful ministry and treasure. And like a jar of clay, we can so easily be broken. One day be healthy, next day sick. Before a jar of clay is baked into a jar, it's just a piece of clay, easily bent and molded. But once completed, they can still easily be broken, just like us. God is using you, jar of clay, this vessel, for His glory. And you do not have to lose heart. That's the comfort this morning. When we suffer, it's for God's glory, for Jesus' sake. And if we go through trials, it is that Jesus can be glorified through my circumstances. And it's also for the sake of others, so that they can also glorify God through the way you proclaim the gospel, through your circumstances. And when you pray to the Lord and you trust in Him, He will give you peace despite the outcome. And so Paul is telling us that he's preparing us for eternal glory. Verse 17. An eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. 2 Corinthians 5. We encourage one another in times of need or even death. But we can only do this with human words. Be strong, we will say sometimes, although we're not. We are but jars of clay. And we struggle. But Jesus touches the heart through His Spirit. Take heart. And assures us that we don't have to lose heart. And so the Apostle Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, my sermon for next week, that human life is like an earthly tent, which is only temporary. And at this tent we long and groan. And the Apostle Paul also wanted to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Life was sometimes a burden, under which he groaned. And then he describes our life. Surely but surely, we are aging and dying. And he explains that we should see it as a process of undressing, as if we undress to go to bed. So is the way of aging. So is the way of death. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it includes a difficult process that includes suffering. And when we suffer, we ask, why couldn't it be faster? Why not on my terms, like euthanasia? And Apostle Paul explained that we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that a surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. That our bodies are only temporarily. They are jars of clay, like the homes we're staying in. But one day, our destination on the new earth, and when Jesus comes again, we will receive eternal glorified bodies. And Paul describes human life. And it gives a better perspective. We, jars of clay, are afflicted in every way. And that's because of original sin. The sin of Adam and Eve, where sin and death entered this world. But we're not crushed. We're perplexed sometimes. But we are not driven to despair. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit to comfort and wipe our tears away. We are persecuted as Christians sometimes. But we will never be forsaken. as Jesus was forsaken for us on the cross. We cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, so that we will never be forsaken. The Lord is there. Sometimes we are struck down by illness, like cancer. Sometimes we need to receive life-saving surgery, but we are not destroyed. And the Apostle Paul describes that we are only moving to our eternal destination where we will experience the Lord's eternal glory. Paul says that we are always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus might also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. What did Paul mean by these words? Verse 11. The principle of life arising out of death started with Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Jesus died so that we could live. By the life of Jesus, Paul means that we should not succumb to our problems. The Lord brings life through death, as he did with Jesus. Before Jesus died on the cross, where he took all our sins upon him, death was at work in people, and end was the grave. But then Jesus died, he's risen, and now we die in him. Death and life. Jesus died so that we could live. And when we are struck down by sickness or when we are aging, we see the effect of original sin. But we can also know that Jesus conquered. And what happened to Christ will also happen to us. Our bodies will die. But God will resurrect my dead body to life, recreate it according to 1 Corinthians 15. We will reign in spirit and body forever with Christ. Revelation 3, verse 21. And Christ has prepared a place of glory for us in the Father's house. John 14, verse 3. This is where we will be. Because we live in the Lord and die in the Lord. Romans 14. And that this life, this journey, this pain in my life, this trial which I am going through is only but the dot in the eternal plan of God, because our true homes are with God eternally. This is why the Apostle Paul could also say in Philippians 1 verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And he tells us, when we are discouraged, when we see the effects of sickness, pain and suffering, that we need to look beyond this to the eternal destination. It's members of the kingdom of God. The Lord is only preparing us to live in all eternity, and he's there every step of the way. Therefore, do not look to the things that are seen, he says, like death, pain, age, or the troubles of this world, for they are transient. That means they will pass. They will pass. But look in faith to the things that are unseen. Our eternal dwelling in heaven. Complete peace in Jesus as they are eternal. All this is for your sake. Because we live in hope in the risen Jesus. And we will go through afflictions. We will go through pain. But we can do this with faith and hope. And because we go through this with faith and hope, it will cause others to give glory to the Lord. And through our afflictions and the way we handle our suffering, we will increase thanksgiving to give people, to give glory to God. And again he says, therefore we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away through age and sickness, our inner self is being renewed. My grace is sufficient for you. And the Lord is making us ready for our eternal destination in heaven. And the Lord is near in his love, and death cannot frighten us anymore, because it's only a doorway or gateway to God in eternal peace. And death is not something that we need to be afraid of. For see, the grave is just the place where our clothes, this body, are changed to the heavenly glorified body. It's only a passage to eternal life. Jesus lives. That was Paul's comfort. And without him, you cannot face the grave. Without him, you will fear death, suffering. But he assures us that this is only momentary, like staying in a tent, but in heaven will be our eternal destination, that God is with us. That Jesus is preparing for us the eternal destination, and God made us for this very purpose, to honor him alone, and even through this proclaim the gospel. Jesus is in heaven. He is there as our King. He governs. He's on the right hand of the Father, and until he comes again, he is looking after his children. He is pleading for us. And he also sent his Spirit as the comfort who will wipe our tears away, encourage us, strengthen us. And he leads in prayer. And here's the witness through the word of God that Jesus is the Savior, the answer. And although we sometimes sigh, although we sometimes groan, although we are waiting, we can be certain for what awaits us after our death. This is our eternal destination, heaven. That will be our eternal home. One day we will experience death. Maybe we will suffer. But we also know, through the assurance of Romans 8 verse 1, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And verses 38 to 39, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God and Christ Jesus our Lord. And through faith we share in Jesus' redemption. We are willing to please him, to glorify him, to endure everything, even when we are old, sick and tired. Even when we have the desire in our hearts to go home to our eternal destination. And when we face our deathbed, we will not be afraid, because the Lord is there. Like Paul confessed these words, we can confess it as well. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Also the assurance of our Lord Jesus Christ that we don't have to lose heart. Even when we go through difficult times, when we are discouraged like Paul was discouraged in jail, when we are worried about our children, our grandchildren, you also assure us to not lose heart, but to be patient. that you are in control, that you gave your Son, who died for us on the cross, and He's risen, and that through His death came life, that we share in this. Father, we pray that you will lead us to be courageous, to be brave, but also that through our suffering we will proclaim the gospel and be obedient to you and know it's out of grace alone that we are saved. Bless us, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.